Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Well, as we sit here today, I have great concerns about what's going on in the White House. As you know, on this program, I had predicted that impeachment proceedings would be taking place for this Trump guy by the beginning of August. Whether that's the case or not, which I still believe will be, and I believe the reason that impeachment will occur is because Trump will be called in front of Congress in order to answer many questions, which he defaults on every day. And he will lie to Congress, and then it will be found that he lied to Congress. That is an impeachable offense, to lie to Congress. That's what will start the impeachment proceedings, I believe. Here's the problem. As you know, it is reported that Trump, in the privacy of the Oval Office, spoke to Russian ambassadors. Apparently, according to reports, Putin had asked for this meeting. Putin knows, and other world leaders know, that Donald Trump is a patsy. He's a puppet. All you have to do is say certain lines to him, make certain comments, and he will spill the beans. His ego takes over, his pride takes over, his good old boy slap on the back activities take over, and the man actually does what you want him to do. He's very moldable. You can see how his buttons can be pushed very, very easily. Man also doesn't sleep, but that's besides the point. So apparently the report is, by the Washington Post, that someone in the White House said this meeting between the Russians, President Trump is leaking confidential information to them. By the way, you should understand that Russia actually supports the rebels who are trying to fight ISIS. So they are, Russia's indeed, and the fact that they probably, if not definitely, hacked our systems involved in the election, by leaking, etc. Russia is definitely an adversary. Yet Trump is palling around with them in the White House. He's bragging about our intelligence community. He's bragging about, Trump is bragging about how he gets great information. He actually leaks some of this information, tells it to the Russian ambassadors and representatives, which he can legally do, but it's a horrible idea. Here's why. And by the way, when this meeting was taking place in the White House, in the Oval Office, our press here in this country was not admitted into the Oval Office. The press and photographer, specifically from the Russian consul, was allowed in the Oval Office. So in other words, meeting is taking place between Russia and the United States in the Oval Office with Trump. Trump does not allow American photographers in to take pictures for our country, but he does allow photographers from Russia into the Oval Office, but not the United States. That's like a weird thing that people just looked over, but it's true. All the pictures that you see of the president shaking hands with the Russian ambassadors are taken by Russian photographers, because United States photographers were not allowed in. Anyway, here's the deal. Trump talks about ISIS to the Russian people, Russian ambassadors, and he talks about the fact that we can stop this. This is how we're going to be stopping it. This is all confidential information. When Trump was told this by our security people, he was told this is confidential information. Trump has the right to tell anybody he wants about it, but it's a stupid move, and it's going to be his downfall. Here's what's going to happen. The people that leaked this information to our national security saying, you better watch out for laptops on airplanes, ISIS has got something going here. That person, whoever it may be, who leaked that information to our country, whom we hold near and dear, because without that information, we'd have a lot of dead people here. That person probably will be beheaded by ISIS sometime today. ISIS will find out who leaked that information, and they will behead that person. And they will also go through their entire organization, And if they find anybody who possibly leaked anything to the United States, they too will be taken out. Their lives will be ended. So this is as a result, people will be killed. These people who give us information on a secret agent kind of basis from ISIS. That also means that the intelligence community overseas will be very careful about giving us information of this sort, this life-saving information, ever again, because you've got a guy in the White House that just boasts about things, boasts about what he wants, what he knows. He's a loose cannon. He does anything he wants. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. And as a result, the information that we get from other countries and other sources will start to diminish. And the only reason that this country is secure, especially terrorism-wise, is because of that secret information that we get from sources. If these sources don't give us information anymore, we're in bad shape. That's why this is so important. Have a nice day. Welcome to the program.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Hello, welcome. Thank you very much, Julie. It's not my thing to sit here and this isn't even political. This is, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on here. It's not even political. It's a concern that the guy who is the leader of the country is totally unhinged and does stuff that is really, really not beneficial and is actually destructive. Actually, this country could go down because of him. And when we get into nuclear situations, which is, countries are going to start testing him. They're going to start playing with him because Trump's reputation is you can play with this guy, we can mold him, we can get him to do what we want simply by saying the right stuff. We can rattle him, we can do it, let's test him. That's not a good position for us to be in. It's become quite dangerous, not only dangerous to us security-wise at this point, but now it has become dangerous as far as reputation is concerned and as far as democracy is concerned. Trump wants to be the king, wants to be the dictator. He so much has said it many times. It's, it could change things. Be careful. Anyway, hi, I'm sorry. I apologize to you. Anyway, I have a very interesting guest on the program today. Leslie Kane is joining us. She's written a book called Surviving Death, which has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, really. It has to do with the afterlife, which is interesting. A lot of people don't think there's anything after life. A lot of people think there is. And we're going to talk to her about it. It's not discussed in a religious facet really at all. It is simply a belief that there is reincarnation And then we get into other subject matters because she's written books about other things, such as now there's an actual scientific possibility, as crazy as this sounds, kids, scientific possibility that we are all Martians. Ron, do you drink that early, really? No, I don't. Well, when I was younger, I would have a Bloody Mary maybe about 8 o'clock in the morning if I was up all night at a party. That's when I was like really, really younger. And not a great idea, by the way. But no, I haven't. As you know, there are plenty of Mars apparatus things on Mars right now. We send things up to Mars, by the way. They're little cars that you get at Radio Shack, and they're probes, and they're called odd things. They're called Curiosity and Inquisitive. They're adjective little things, and they actually collect samples from Mars, and they actually have a lab right on their little vehicles, and they actually come up with how old these rocks are. What they found was, and there's like three of these rovers roving Mars right now, going up mountains and taking all kinds of soil samples and rock samples and things like that. And apparently what they found is amazing. There are two McDonald's and a Wendy's up there. Did you know that? So they're assuming that there probably was life on Mars. How else would they have a McDonald's up there? And if they did have a McDonald's up there, who would they be serving? It's funny. Some of my listeners are probably saying, really? That's unbelievable. All right. What they have found is that the possibility that there was water on Mars is actually probable, almost a definite. There's no water there now. In other words, Mars is a planet that actually had water, could have supported life, whether it did or not, we don't know just yet, but did have water, did have an atmosphere. At some point in its history, that was no more. That's because Mars is a lot closer to the sun. That kind of thing probably wouldn't happen on Earth, but it happened on Mars. So here's the theory. If there was indeed life on Mars that we haven't discovered yet, and I'm not talking about people walking around on Mars, you know, like billions of years ago. I'm talking about tiny little microbes of amoeba life, you know, like one-celled organisms or two little cell organisms, and that's as far as they ever developed. Even if one of those things maybe a comet might have hit Mars or some space debris, and maybe a chip of Mars may have flown and landed on Earth. We actually find rocks from Mars on our planet all the time. I mean, not every day, but I mean, through history, we have found Mars rocks on Earth. So that theory is proven that that is a possibility. Could life, even a couple of little celled organisms, survive the trip from Mars to the Earth in a rock, ledged into a rock? We don't know. It's possible, but we don't know. If it is the case, chances are some little organism that had life on Mars, because there was water on Mars, that's substantiated. And then one of these Mars rocks hits the Earth, and life develops from this little organism to where we are today. We are Martians. I knew there was something odd about you. I could tell. I knew it. Sometimes I don't understand you, and you say weird things, and I say to you, what are you, from Mars? And it's possible you actually were. Not me. I'm not from Mars. I'm definitely from another planet. But I don't think it's from Mars. I'm not too sure where I'm from. I think it's Saturn.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does. We'll be right back.
Thank you very much. I usually, by the way, do a comedy type of show. I just wanted to let you know. Sometimes serious things happen, and one must expound upon it for a short period of time. But we usually have fun on this program. It's usually an oasis from the stuff that I just talked about at the beginning of the program, because no matter what happens, you just got to have a chuckle here and there. You got to find a chuckle somewhere. Do you remember there was a candy called Chuckles? How many of you remember that candy called Chuckles? Raise your hand if you do. Look at all of you raising your hands, all you Martians. Yeah, Chuckles was like some type of candy jelly thing, which was absolutely disgusting. The consistency of it was just horrible. And they were in different flavors. There was a cherry, a licorice, and a lemon. It was like, I don't know how many different flavors, maybe five. And it was like, it was just little sections of jelly. It was formed sugar jelly. It was absolutely disgusting. but I ate Chuckles. And it sounds like I was having sex with a clown, doesn't it? But I ate Chuckles, and I'm sorry to say. So, do you remember Pez? Remember Pez? You do. There's actually a Pez factory. I'm serious. I'm not kidding you. There's a Pez factory in Connecticut right around the New Haven area. There is. It's right off the highway. Somewhere like right after New Haven. It's like East New Haven or whatever you call that thing. And it's an actual factory, man. And you walk in and there's a gigantic Pez store, and it's got Pezzes through the ages. Those are the little things where their heads are hinged and there's little bricks of candy inside. You know what Pez is. If you don't know what Pez is, then you're really not Googling enough. It was a whole generation of, it was span generations, this Pez thing. Little plastic things, and you would load the Pez into it, the little candies, and then the heads would pop back, they would hinge back, and I actually knew people that looked like that. Their heads like totally would go back, and little candies would come out of their throats. I knew people like that. They were from Mars. So this is, it's a gigantic, and you can get Pezzes that get all the way back, and they have, it's like a little Pez history museum. And then you can actually tour the Pez factory and look through the windows and see actual people making Pez. It's fascinating, man. Look it up. Google that, the Pez factory in Connecticut. That's worth the trip. Worth the trip. It's a day trip. It's worth it. It's worth it. Well, it's not a day trip if you live in California. If you live in the Northeast, it's a day trip. If you don't, it's not a day trip. Anyway, why the hell am I talking about that? There's no reason whatsoever. I'm really sorry. I don't know how I got here. I just, how often does that happen? Does that happen to you? You're talking about something. 10 minutes later, you're on another subject, and for the life of you, can't remember how you got there or what the subject was that got you there. It's a problem. I used to think it was because I was getting older that I started to have short-term memory loss. Then I thought about it a little bit, which was hard to do because I have short-term memory loss. And I realized I've had short-term memory loss like all my life, which means I have no long-term whatsoever. I don't know stuff. And then I start listening to other people talk and I realize they have no memories whatsoever. They can remember what they ate like in 1927, but as far as anything else, they have absolutely no idea whatsoever. So don't feel so bad. All right, kids. This is the Ron Van Dam Show. That's what I'm doing. We do this every single weekday. Sometimes I have some guests that spend the entire show with me where we just banter back and forth. Other times, not so much. So you just never know what's going to happen here, and I don't know what's going to happen. When I sit down in this chair and I talk to you every morning, whatever time you listen to this, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. It's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. Our guest is Leslie Kane. She's written the book Surviving Death. Let's speak to her. Author Leslie Kane joins us now. This is a fascinating subject matter. She's a bestseller and a very prolific writer, And we're talking about the afterlife in this particular writing. How did we get to the afterlife? What sent you on this path?
Well, I've always been interested in it, Ron. I mean, in terms of just whether, you know, as a journalist, whether there is actual factual evidence that would suggest this reality that, you know, that goes beyond any considerations of religion or personal belief systems. And it's something I've just been curious about for a long time. I'm interested in big issues that are not explained and issues that are very challenging to science and that challenge our paradigms. And this is one that's really fascinates me.
And how would one do research on something where we don't know, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. But you'd be amazed at how much research has been done, and this is over maybe a period of the last 100 years, and it's been done in lots of different areas. So what I did, what I was interested to do in my book was to pull the best information from a lot of different areas, and usually a book will cover one, like near-death experiences, say. But I wanted to cull the best information, the most credible information from a whole range of areas so that I could bring them into one volume and people could really get the absolute best, most convincing evidence and see how they all interconnect and kind of mutually reinforce each other. So there have been studies, for instance, by medical doctors on near-death experiences, you know, very, very qualified doctors who have studied this for decades, psychiatrists who have studied cases of children who remember past lives. And papers have been written in journals on mediums and physical mediumship and a lot of different areas. And people don't really know this, so that's why I thought it was important to report on it.
Interesting. This is not a religious situation. This is more of a scientific, metaphysical situation. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm interested in is, I mean, a lot of people, of course, do have religious beliefs, and they prefer to make their determinations based on religious beliefs. But what I'm interested in asking as a journalist is, you know, are there facts that have nothing to do with religion?
Right.
Are there facts that suggest that consciousness might survive the physical body? And it's looking at it purely as a journalist would look at any other situation, you know, just looking at data, looking at studies, looking at papers, and seeing what they all suggest and what they seem to be pointing to. So it really has not, in my book, has nothing to do with religion or belief systems, but I also feel that it doesn't contradict them. Because, you know, even if your religion, most religions do, you know, imply or do believe that there's an afterlife, so all this is going to do is reinforce whatever beliefs one might already have. And if you're a skeptic, I think it'll give you a lot of very convincing information to contemplate and maybe turn your paradigm upside down. Who knows?
Well, skeptics are people that don't have enough information to form an opinion in that direction. But given that information, of course, that's a whole different ballgame. When someone has an out-of-body experience or claims that they had passed and then comes back, is that a mental situation of the brain breaking down and showing different images or different chemical reactions, and then it revives miraculously? Can it be explained? Has it been explained in a physical manner as opposed to an actual journey? Are both possibilities still open?
Yeah, I mean, there certainly is a big debate going on about it, and there's always going to be people that will propose alternative explanations.
Right.
But the professionals who have, and one of them is a cardiologist who actually contributed a chapter to my book, who have studied these cases for many decades, and who know medicine and who know how the brain works, and what they say is that there's no one kind of hypothesis that can explain what is going on in these experiences. The most interesting cases involve cases in which there is no brain activity. I mean, essentially, the person doesn't have a brain while they're having these experiences, and it's very hard to explain how somebody can have perception and have memories of something that occurred when they were essentially dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were basically in a state of death, not knowing if they were going to be resuscitated or not. Some of these people are in this state for quite a while. Yeah. And so, you know, the medical people find it very difficult to explain how, when you don't have any brain activity at all, mm-hmm. how you can still have consciousness. And that seems to be what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Do you find it fascinating that if there were a level where in the afterlife and people were reincarnated perhaps, or they'd remember a previous life, if memory could serve them and everybody could remember previous lives, wouldn't that be interesting?
I think it would, but it also might be very difficult. I don't know. I mean, it seems to me that we are probably, if indeed reincarnation does occur,
right.
and of course we can't prove it,
right.
but we have some very strong cases that suggest it in which children with memories of
yes.
these past lives have been able, we've been able to verify them. But I think, you know, it could be that if you want to accept it, that I don't think we're probably intended or designed to remember
right.
them.
Right. That's
you know, because
correct.
If we were, I think a lot more children would remember them. And perhaps when they do remember them, it's sort of an aberration.
Yeah.
I don't know. But or there's some kind of trauma that has occurred to them in the previous life, which somehow kind of keeps the energy going that survives in this life. Because most of the children that remember these past lives and are very traumatized by them in their early years are children that in their previous life had a very violent death, had some kind of unnatural death, a sudden accident or being killed in a war, being murdered, or, you know, something really unexpected and horrible and violent that happened when they were fairly young. So most of the cases involve that kind of death in the previous life, which would suggest that maybe there's some kind of carryover because something was incomplete for them.
Yeah.
But still, you have to ask why more people wouldn't remember these past lives if we were meant to remember them. So it
right.
seems to me that we're not meant to remember them.
Right. No, you're right. It would all hell would break loose probably if we did.
Yeah, I don't know how it would affect people. Yeah. It's a really interesting thing to think about.
It is. It is. Have you discussed or contemplated why people from the other side who have passed on, who do communicate, and this, of course, is a different subject matter somewhat, why they don't specifically describe what it's like where they are?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people are so curious about that. And in fact, there are, you know, if you're willing to accept that these communications are what they claim to be,
right.
and, you know, you have to go to read the books by the mediums or by the channelers or whoever the people are that you respect and that you think are valid. And a lot of them do bring through messages from entities that they say they're in contact with who describe what that world is like.
Really?
I mean, there are, but it is true that when people go to you know, to have a reading with a medium, which I did and I wrote about in my book, that's not usually what's discussed. I mean,
right.
you can, you know, the purpose of the mediumship reading with a mental medium is to just convince you that the person
right.
you're speaking that's right. there is your loved one.
Right.
And in order to do that, they need to give you a lot of information that nobody else would know about.
Right.
And that usually takes up most of the reading, and then they usually have some kind of messages for people, but they don't spend a lot of time
right. yeah.
describing it. But there are other sources, there are places where people can go right. to find out more about
mm-hmm.
that. And anybody who wants to contact me, I can give them some ideas about where to find out more about that.
Sure. Why don't we do that now, as long as you brought that up?
Yeah, I mean, if people want to contact me, I have a website, and it's Surviving Death Kane. So it's the title of my book and my last name, K-E-A-N,
right.
is how you spell it,
yes.
survivingdeathkane.com. I also have an author page on Facebook, and I'm very active. You know, I do a lot of discussion with people on Facebook, and I really enjoy that. So anybody can feel free to contact me. Just remember that my last name is spelled K-E-A-N.
It's just to keep people thinking.
Yeah, I was born. Yeah, it's my name. I can't do anything about it.
But
there's so many interesting questions that you've raised.
Yeah.
Really good questions.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's fascinating because we all find comfort in knowing what's ahead, and that is probably one of the greatest searches that a mind can possibly conduct is what you're talking about in your book, Surviving Death. I'm also fascinated by your previous works as well. I happen to find great fascination with UFOs and or the possibility of life somewhere else other than just on this particular globe here. And I can't fathom why there couldn't be life somewhere else. It's almost impossible that there isn't, and that it would have the technology and the knowledge in order to make visitations. I've always been fascinated by that, because that seems like that has almost got to be.
Right. Yeah, I would agree. I think almost everybody, even your conventional sort of skeptical debunking type scientists, agree that there could very well be life on other planets. I think the question they hold is whether it's feasible that anybody could ever travel such vast distances, you know, to get here.
Yeah.
And that's why they're really skeptical about the UFO information for that reason. But I think you have to argue, and many scientists have argued, that if somebody is existing, you know, millions of years more advanced than we are,
right,
it's inconceivable to us what kind of technology they might develop in order to be able to make that trip. So
absolutely,
I don't think we can assume anything about a very advanced civilization.
No, you look at the advances that we have made, as archaic as we are even to this point, the advances over what is relatively a short period of time in the continuum aspect. It cannot be that there is not that ability or capability.
I agree with you. I mean, I do. And then, you know, you think about all that we've developed in 100 years, right?
Uh-huh.
Think about what millions of years could bring.
Sure. It's also, I think it's very healthy also for the mind to be expansive.
I agree. And one of the reasons I love dealing with these topics is, and both UFOs and the question of survival past death, is that it does expand your mind to confront these things and also to read and learn about what we do know. I mean, I don't think people realize the incredible scientific studies that have been done and the information that we do have, which is highly suggestive of these other realities and these, a lot of mystery that lies behind the physical world. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I love the way it expands the mind. Even if we can't answer all the questions, it just opens up the sense of awe and a sense of knowing that there is so much more that we don't understand, and there is so much more to reality than what our senses can perceive.
Yeah.
I mean, that is without question.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I love that sense of wonder and expansion that can come from, which is one of the reasons I'm interested in these topics, just for that reason.
Yeah, it's also very, very necessary for the human mind to have hope in their thoughts. And I mean, even what's going on in the world now, I kind of think a great scenario would be if some greater power or being could visit the planet and say, "You guys are nuts. You better cut it out right now." You know, if you always picture that as a voice of reason.
It would be great, wouldn't it? We could sure use it.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. Anyway, and there's a, you should visit Leslie Kane because there are so many interesting writings, and it does open your mind. And I got to say, out of fairness, that there are skeptics, and there are those that are expansively believing. And it doesn't really matter. It really has nothing to do whether you believe it or not, or you've formed an opinion or not. It's just always good to read about it and look at the other side and then form an opinion. But it's just interesting. As I said, I think it's a healthy thing to do.
I agree. And I'm not drawing any conclusions in my book.
Right.
I'm not telling people this is how it is, or I have proof, or you've got to think this way or anything. I'm providing absolutely factual information that is really mind-blowing. And as a journalist, I'm only interested in very credible information. So people can absolutely make up their own minds, but they cannot deny that these things have happened, that these phenomena occur. And that's enough for anybody, you know, that however you want to interpret them, that's up to you.
Right.
But the fact that they exist is phenomenal in itself. And they are, I only provide information that I know is true and is accurate. So it's the interpretation that's really up to the reader.
Yeah. I understand it, even though you do write and investigate, that at first, I wouldn't say that you were necessarily a skeptic, but you had doubts about the subject matter.
Yeah. Same thing with UFOs. Mm-hmm. And with this topic especially, because I hadn't been involved with it. When I did my book on UFOs, I'd been involved with it for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really, really spent a lot of time looking into that. This one was more of a personal journey for me as well when I began really, I mean, I have studied it over the years, but I began really focusing on it about maybe 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was really a sort of journey of discovery for me as well. You know, I didn't know what I was going to find out, and I had some of my own personal experiences. Mm-hmm. And it was, I'm still learning. I'm still discovering things.
I've got to ask you, what's next on the agenda for you?
Well, I think more discovery in this field, to tell you the truth, Ron. I feel, you know, in some ways this book it opened a lot of doors for me, too, that I want to pursue further. Mm-hmm. I have lots of things I want to read and study and continue to develop, regarding this question of survival past death. So that's I'm going to be focusing on that for a while, and we'll see what comes of it.
Yeah, I'm also, you know, there are a lot of supernatural programs on television, which are quite successful. They come and go, but they're around, and they have also opened up another door of spirits being able to materialize. I guess we call it ghosts. But it's gotten a little further than that in the paranormal realm. A lot of that is theater. A lot of that is not authentic. But there are still many open avenues in that subject matter as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really familiar with the TV shows. I don't tend to watch them. But I agree. I mean, I think there's always open doors open for further research.
Yeah,
absolutely. And the more technology we develop, perhaps the better we are, the better we will be at documenting certain things like apparitions or ghosts or things that have been very difficult to document in the past. But with sophisticated cameras now and all kinds of other technology, maybe we'll have some breakthroughs.
Yeah, that has to. And there was, I think, way back when I was a little kid in 1827. there was always a supposition that there were a number of dimensions, and beyond the third and fourth dimension, there were other dimensions that coexist with us as we are right now. And I found that very interesting and very mind-blowing, you know, if that were to be accurate.
Yeah, I think... Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's true that, and if indeed there is an afterlife realm... that is another dimension. That could be one of those dimensions you're talking about. And there are scientists that have proposed that we have 5 dimensions, 6 dimensions, even more, and that one of those might be the dimension that we dwell in after we die. And it could be all around us. We just can't perceive it.
Yeah, a lot of them can be interlaced. There's no question about it.
Yeah, so there's so many interesting questions that we probably will never have the answers to, but they're certainly fascinating to contemplate, and there is a lot of actual data that points in that direction, which is really, really incredible. And that's what I'm trying to bring forward in my book.
It's human nature to explore.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One more time, Leslie, where people can follow your writings, etc.
Great. Yeah, they can go to my website, which is survivingdeathkane, KEAN.com, or visit me on Facebook. Just look up my name, Leslie Kane, KEAN. Go to my author page on Facebook, and I look forward to hearing from people if anybody has any questions or anything else. So that's and if you just search my name or search the book title on Google, you'll get to me.
Great. Pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate being on. Okay. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Leslie. Leslie Kane, ladies and gentlemen. Take a bow, Leslie. A wonderful woman. What a wonderful woman she is, I suppose. I don't really know her that well, or at all, to be honest with you. I think she's a Martian. Pretty sure she is. Well, we're just about out of time for today. You have been wonderful today. Let me tell you, you've been attentive. You haven't interrupted me.
You've been really, really, really nice, and I appreciate that. And I just hope that we can remain Facebook friends forever, because of it's of no consequence. That's why I don't care. I have so many Facebook friends that I don't know. It's unbelievable. I've never known so many people that I haven't known before in my life. I have a large collection of people that I have no idea who they are, and they are my close friends. And if anything ever happened to me, they would do absolutely nothing, because they go, oh, that's a shame. And that's about it, because they don't have my back, they don't have my front, they don't have anything, because I don't know who they are. A lot of them live in other countries, and I have no idea why. I don't know how they found me. I do check them out to make sure that they're not catfishing. I don't know what that means, but it sounds horrible. So, I don't know. I just, I have Facebook friends because you're supposed to. I was told that now in today's society, you must have a certain number of Facebook friends. Otherwise, you are an embarrassment to the human race. And you never want to be that. You always want to be an asset of some sort. So we collect as many friends as we can, and then we change the entire meaning of the word friend. In other words, if you know somebody and you call them your friend, I totally don't believe you anymore, because you have so many friends. You have like over 1,000 friends, but you don't know who they are. So when you use that term friend, it means absolutely nothing anymore. So what do you call these people that you're actually very close to? There's no name for them. You can't call them friends because there are 1,000 of them. Whom you have no idea who they are. So we've bastardized our entire social relationship because of this stupid Facebook thing, which has taken over the world, by the way. Every time, did you know, when I go to the bathroom and I take a dump and I wipe my butt, that's on the Facebook page the next day. It says, Ron wiped his butt yesterday at 5:27. Here's a new picture of him wiping his butt. How do you do that? How do you know that? How do you know that that happened? Well, because you have a cell phone in your pocket, there's GPS, we know exactly where you were, we know where your bathroom is, we know everything that you do, we've seen it, there's a camera and everything. This is just too much. This is just too much. Teleport me back to a day and age where I didn't know you. You weren't my friend because I don't know who you are anyway. You didn't know when I went to the bathroom. You didn't know where I was. You just, let's go back to that just for a little bit and see how we get along. Well, the point is, and the problem is, you can't go back. You just can't go back. It's like Pandora's box. As soon as the lid is open, everything comes out, and you can't go backwards anymore. And isn't that a shame? That could be a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish you peace.